Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we clap our hands and shout with our voice and thank the Lord for the word that we have heard tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Once again, I want to say how thankful I am to be able to be a part of this great camp meeting. And again, I want to give honor to your leadership, past and present. Thankful for all that Brother and Sister Lewis have put into leadership all these years. And so thankful for what God's doing through Brother and Sister Davidson. Now, you need to pray for leadership. You need to pray for leadership. Moses didn't need a better battle plan, and he didn't need more soldiers. He didn't need superior weaponry. He just needed somebody that'd hold his arms up a little bit. Maybe that's all you need and where you're at to see the kind of victory that God can only bring is for you to start holding up the arms of the man of God in your place. It worked then, didn't it? I read somewhere in that book that said there's nothing new under the sun. That which has been, that which is been already. That means whatever happened before has a real good chance of happening again. I wonder what would happen if every person that's a saint of God in this building went home and decided there's not going to be one day goes by that I'm not going to pray a covering over my man of God and his family. There's not going to be one day that I don't spend time with Jesus for them. Not going to be one day that I don't pray a devil off of his trail, stress off of his mind, fear out of his heart, and revival in his soul. My. So, you need to do that. Need to do that. Thank you, Brother Terry, for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Before I preach, let me give you some good advice. Hopefully I'll give you some good advice after when I start preaching, but something that I've shared with the people at home in the church that God's asked me to pastor. The reason I refer to it like that is because one night I was real mad about something. I stepped up to the pulpit and I really was mad. I really was. Somebody or somebodies had done something and I was getting ready to clean somebody or somebody's clock. I stepped up to the pulpit just about the time I sucked in a good lung full of air and got ready to let them have it. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, just remember, I've got my blood in this, and you don't. What do you tell people after the Lord says something like that? I love y'all. What do? God bless the saints of the Most High God. What do you say? But there is there's some rules that I've learned that I think would be good to share with you. Don't you remember this? This is good rules. Rule number one and rule number two. Stay with me, brother. Rule number one is, everybody get it, because you got to remember this. Rule number one is, there's only one God. Whoa, hang on a minute. And you ain't him. There's only one God, and you ain't him. Rule number two is, there's only one heaven, and this ain't it. God. One night, somebody in the church at home that God's asked me to pastor was complaining to somebody else about something and said, I'm telling you, this isn't fair. And it finally got back to me, the response that the person gave them. They looked at him and said, well, duh. Said, the fair is where you eat cotton candy and ride the roller coaster. This is life. Woo! Maybe somebody needs to understand, hey, it ain't about fair. But can I tell you, our God is just. And can I tell you, He will make it right. And can I tell you, He will make a way where there is no way. Woo! Some of that stuff that people do at home, it just sticks in my brain. One of them one night, I'm pretty careful about having a testimony service like that, just open testimony service at home, because, you understand why. So, but anyway, one night, I just happened to call on a sister, and she stood up to testify. She said, you know, I was reading in my Bible, and I read where it said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. She said, I got to thinking about that. And she said, because, and I understood anyway, at least that grammar as we know it, not necessarily the way it was in the Holy Writ before translation. But anyway, she said, I got to thinking, why can't you just say it like this? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so? When the doctor says, you got cancer and we can't fix it. What's wrong with a saint of God saying, so? I know a God that healeth all my diseases. He forgives all mine iniquities. By His stripes ye are healed. You ain't going to have enough to make ends meet this week. So, once I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsake, nor a seed begging bread. Come on, somebody. You need to look your problem in the eye and say, so, I got a God. I've got a God. I've got a God. Jesus' name. You know, some of that stuff's taught me some things. You need to try that. Am I the only one in the building that is a good candidate for the mental health profession that hears voices? They probably got a name for my condition. In some textbook somewhere. But I hear voices once in a while. I hear voices. Once in a while, them voices will say, you're not going to make it. One of these days, you're going to slip and fall. You know what I need to do? I need to say, so, I got a God that is able to keep me from falling. I got a God that said, I'll bear you up on angel's wings lest you dash your foot against the stone. Somebody needs to tell the devil so. Somebody needs to tell the devil so. I've still got a God. I've still got a God. I like to read. And I read all kind of stuff. Really, I do. And in fact, in my bathroom, I've got a bookshelf in my bathroom. And that bookshelf, I can barely reach the top shelf. It's about this wide. And I got books double stacked in there. Double stacked on every shelf. And there's one series of books. I don't remember who it is exactly at the moment. But there's one author that he has this, it was Edgar Rice Burroughs was the author. The guy that wrote Tarzan series and the Martian Tales series and a bunch of other stuff. But anyway, he has this one thing that his hero, the man of the hour, is always saying when he gets in the worst kind of bind. And he always looks over at his compadre that's in the bind with him and says, "We are yet alive." I'm going to tell you something. When some of you get back home, you need to just stop. When you come into the city limits and just to the top of your lungs say, "Devil, I'm still here!" In spite of everything you said, everything you told me, every bit of doom you pronounced, I'm still alive and I'm still here. I told Brother Bertrand a minute ago, turned around and looked at him, I said, "You know, that Bible did say, Jesus made the statement. The Bible says, He had sent out His disciples, and the Bible says this, He sent them into every city where He Himself would go." I hope there's a home missionary in this place that goes home realizing, "He didn't send me here except that He intended to come Himself." Would you stand and clap your hands to the Lord? Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Jesus. Get your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see my old friend, Brother Shearer, back there. Me and him been through some waters that went over the top of our chest waders a time or two. But we still here. We still here. Hey, listen, me and him walked where angels fear to tread one time. And we're still here. We're still here. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad God's faithful. You hear me? I'm glad God's faithful. Woo! Revelation 12 and 7, "And there was war in heaven." So for you that get nervous of church trouble, it even happened there. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Ooh, but I like verse number 8. "And prevailed not." Somebody say, "And prevailed not." Woo. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now." Somebody say now. What is the now meaning? After the devil was cast down, the voice of the accuser was cast down. It said as soon as that happened in that location, something else immediately began to happen after that. As soon as the voice of the accuser was cast down, the Bible said, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ." Why? "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night. You want salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ to come where you are. Why don't you start shutting down the voice of accusation? The next time you get the thought or the notion to speak against anything going on in the church, saying, you know, I just don't really agree with that, or against the brother in the church, as you hear what they did, why don't you stop and back up a pace and think about something you can say that's good, and then let that out. I'll tell you what happened. The same thing that happened there. Salvation and strength. The kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. It will come to you. Verse number 11. And they overcame him by two things. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now, who's the computer guy that's working on the screen? Is it right there? Leave that on there for just a little bit. All right, put your Bibles down if you got them, and let's raise our hands and ask God to open our hearts to receive the word of the Lord tonight. Dear Jesus, we come to you in your lovely and precious and all-powerful name. I'm asking you, oh God, the Lord, help us to receive the word of the Lord tonight. Jesus' name. Come on, somebody ask Him. Somebody ask Him to help you to open your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord and shout to Him. Maybe see. Now, I was raised in a United Pentecostal church, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've heard the blood of Jesus preached about hundreds of times. Hundreds of times, I've heard preachers, both at our home church, my pastor, evangelist, preachers since then, that would preach about the blood of the Lamb. When I begin to think about songs, there are countless songs about the blood. Anybody know a song about the blood? It'll never lose its power. I said it'll never lose its power. And we did more than just preach about it. And we did more than just sing about it. We pled the blood of Jesus Christ. I've seen times when it start getting a little scary and a little hairy. And I can remember my own mama back in the day saying, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ to avail. I don't hear that so much anymore. But can I tell you, the blood has not lost its power. I said the blood has not lost its power. Can I tell you that the atonement the blood brought still has no boundaries? It'll save the banker and it'll save the Charles Mansons of our world. I'm telling you, there are no boundaries. You know, Paul didn't seem to be embarrassed to say in that long list of people that he, in categories of sin that he named to the church at Corinth, he didn't seem to be embarrassed to say effeminate. He didn't seem to be embarrassed to say abusers of themselves of mankind. He was speaking of a perverted lifestyle. You know why he was not ashamed to say that? Because they had taken the limits off of the atonement in Corinth. I figured it'd get a little quiet about right there. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We serve a God that'll save child molesters. We serve a God that'll save a drug addict. We serve God, a God that will save murderers. We serve a God that stole from his mama. Say, how you know that? Because I used to do that. And God saved me. He'll save you. So, but the blood is a very, very, very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Powerful thing. And I've heard a lot about it. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot recall to mind right now one sermon that I've ever heard about the power of a testimony. And according to what I just read, that was at least 50% of their overcoming the devil. We talk about the blood all day long, but I don't hear a lot said about our testimony. But the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do here in a little bit. I'm going to give you an opportunity to testify and present a little evidence before God about what you believe that he's going to do in your situation. Now, one day, I was reading through my Bible and I got to thinking, you know, I ought to do me a little word study. So, I did me a little word study of that word that says overcomers, and they overcame him. I began to look at that word, and it comes from a word that in the Greek, from the Strong's, means, it means, it's spelled N-I-K-O, or N-I-K-A-O, Nikeo. And it means to overcome, to get the victory. And then when I searched it on back a little bit, it actually meant, as when one wins a case in a court of law. So then I went back one more step from that word nikeo, which means to overcome, and I went one step back, and it said that that came from a word that is spelled in the Greek, N-I-K-E. Okay. I got a little more excited than that about that. So, but you know, I begin to ponder the fact of, and that's what I want to preach to you tonight, is on the subject of the power of a testimony. The Bible says they were made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Have you ever wondered why it is that Paul and Silas and the Hebrew boys, and so many times in the Word of God, have you ever wondered how it is that they had what they had happen? When the three Hebrew boys came before the king and he told them, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down here. The Bible said that they looked at him straight up and they said, O king, listen. We are not cautious nor careful to answer you in this matter. And you know what they started doing? They started giving a testimony service. They said, let it be known today that we don't know whether our God is going to deliver us out of that fiery furnace or not. But we do want you to know one thing. He is well able. And testimony number two is, he will deliver us out of your hands. I'm going to tell you why the fourth man showed up in the fire. Because they had begun to testify that God was going to deliver them. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we don't see what we could see because we don't say it out of our mouth. I remember Randy Keyes telling a story one time. He said he was 16 or 17 years old and he went somewhere to preach a revival. And he confessed himself that I was probably a little young and all. And he said, I sure didn't have much to preach, but I knew how to preach Acts 2:38. So he said, I preached Acts 2:38 every night. He said one night, after about a week of that, he said, we'd had a couple people get the Holy Ghost, and he said, man, folks from other churches came in on a one night of the week of revival, and he gets up and he said, man, I got bold in faith. He said, I looked at them people and I said, I don't care who it is. If you bring them in this church tomorrow night, God will fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you get them here, God will fill them. He said the next night, he said, listen, they drug him up from everywhere. And he said there was this one old guy that brought somebody, and there was three of them actually, and all three of them had been, quote unquote, seeking the Holy Ghost for years. I don't know how you do that. It's not in the Bible, but some people, they say they do that. I just never found that in the Word, but anyway. So anyway, they came, and boy, Brother Randy Keyes got up there, and he got that waxing mighty in word and decibel. He was going after it, and he said, all right, he said, it's time to have, we need to get some catalyst to get this started. He said, I stepped back, and I looked down, he said, and in that podium was a bunch of little old kids' toys, little tambourines, little triangles, little shakers, and different things, you know. He said, it's time to have a victory march. Man, he dug all them things out of there. He handed people triangles. He handed them little drums. He handed them shakers. And man, he said, all right, when I give you the signal, we're going to start marching around this church, have a victory march, and God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. He said the old boy that had brought the three people that didn't have the Holy Ghost, he was sitting over like this. That's probably why they didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said, we started marching around that building. He said, man, it got to pumping, got to getting high. And he said, I walked over to that old boy, the first one. He had been supposedly praying for the Holy Ghost for, I mean, like 10 or 12 years. He said, I walked up, my lady laid my hand on him, and he said, just like that, the guy fell on his back talking in tongues. He said, I looked over at that old boy, and he was going. He said, my faith soared a little higher. I said, my God, let's have another round of the victory march. And they went around the building again. He said, I walked up to the second one. He put a hand on him. He'd been seeking the Holy Ghost longer now. Boom, he fell out talking in tongues. He said, we made another lap. I prayed for the third one. He said, he got the Holy Ghost. He said, he walked by that old boy. The old boy never got out of his chair. He just sitting there. He said, he walked by him after that and heard the old boy say, well, I don't agree with it much, but it did work. But Brother Keyes, years later, he said that he was praying one day, and he said, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did that happen like that? Where those three people, and I was just a kid, man, totally wet behind the ears, green as, I mean, and why did that happen like that? He said, the Lord spoke to him just as clearly as I've ever heard him in my life. He said, the Lord spoke to me and said, because you said that's what would happen. Somebody needs to understand in this house that the power of death and life is in your mouth. Some of you need to understand in this house that the devil can do a lot of junk in your life sometimes, but he cannot take your voice. He cannot take your tongue hostage. As long as there's breath in your body, you can say something that'll get you out. Now, in Oklahoma, we have toll roads. Oh, brother, listen, you'd spend more money on toll than you have spent on gas if you got one of them big mileage cars, you know. But so you got to, when you're coming down south from Henrietta, there's a toll booth about every 50 miles or 75, and you got to pay the toll. Well, I've got a Pike Pass that's on the windshield in my truck. So I just, you know, I just pull over in that Pike Pass lane and phew, right on through. But the thing is, I was going to preach somewhere, and I was listening to a preaching tape, and I got a little worked up, and I wasn't paying attention. And when I got there, you're supposed to slow down to 25 miles an hour, 20, to go through that little toll deal. It's not much wider than the truck is. Oh man, look, hey man, that preacher was preaching and I was all excited and man, I buzzed through there doing about 35. And I had barely cleared the toll gate and I saw an Oklahoma Highway Patrol sitting there. And I thought, baby, I have bought the farm on this one because they don't play here. Ain't no shame in their game on this one, brother. You in trouble. So here he come. Boy, he pulled me over. He pulled me over. And if I remember right, I just left the thing playing. Thought, ain't no shame in my game either. Might as well go ahead and let her go, baby. Woo! What I'm kind of curious about is why can people stand around you on the job and curse the name of the Lord and you just stand there? I'm going to tell you what stops some of that mess is when they curse, you just say, Hallelujah! Praise be to God! So I don't know if that'd go over on my job or not. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it could hurt anything. And when you give praise to Him, He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. So he pulled me over and he came up to the window. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I was listening to this preaching tape and man, I got caught up and I just come through there. And I started just talking to him about it. I said, man, this guy is preaching. Do you hear me? This guy is preaching. I want to talk about anything but that toll booth, okay? I got to talking to that guy. Listen, it was just a little bit. And he started telling me, you know. I said, I'm a reverend. I pastor up the road there. And I just messed up today, man. I got excited. Wasn't paying attention. You know what that guy did? He said, you know what? He said, I've been having trouble in my marriage. I spent 30 minutes talking to the guy. Gave him a DVD of what I hope the Lord will let me preach while I'm here. About a wounded spirit. I hope the Lord will let me. I think He will. So I got home and I was telling somebody about it. About how I went through that toll booth going that fast. And they said, well, did you get a ticket? I said, no. They said, why did you get a ticket? How'd you get out of it? And when I said the words out of my mouth, I felt the Holy Ghost go. And I said, I talked my way out of it. Hey, you never know where you're going to get a message, brother. I went home and preached, you can talk your way out of it. Some of you right now are in situations that are only still standing because you hadn't opened your mouth and say, I will overcome. I will come out of this. It will get better. I will see a better day. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you need to testify. You need to give testimony about your situation. Sit down, somebody. Now, the reason the Hebrew boys had happened in their life, what happened in their life, is because they decided, my testimony is worth something. I want you to think with me a minute, brethren. Is David the only guy in Israel that could have whipped Goliath? I don't think so. I think anybody could have. Why did David do it? I don't think it's just because he had been anointed. I don't think that was all there was to it. When I read that story in 1 Samuel 17, he's the only person that I found that wasn't given testimony to the giant. He's the only one. Everybody else was saying, he's a champion. They were saying, Goliath of Gath. They were, other ones were saying, he's been a man of war from his earliest youth. You know what David was saying? Who is this uncircumcised, uncovenanted, to listen that he would dare to defy the armies of the living God. David said, I'll fight him. I'll fight him. I'm telling somebody in this house, you need to square your shoulders and make up your mind who you are and begin to give some testimony and begin to give some testimony about what God can do in your life. You know, I like David's attitude. I like David's attitude. The Bible said he got him 5 smooth stones. And read it. It says he hasted and ran to meet the giant. You show me anywhere in Scripture where God told him, when you get out there, you're going to come off unscathed and you're going to be able to whip Goliath. I can't find it. But I'm going to tell you something I can find where David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts of the armies of Israel. And today, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field, that all the people will know there is a God in Israel. And when the Lord heard David say it, he said, I anoint you to do it. You've testified. I give it to you. Now, I'm gonna show you something here that I've been around the UPC all my life. I've heard Paul and Silas preach 9 ways from Sunday. I've seen some pretty great liberties taken with the Paul and Silas story. Hey, listen, I've had them have Paul and Silas singing when the saints go marching in. Won't we have a time when we get over young? God. I'm in the glory land way. I mean, they've had them singing all kind of stuff. Has anybody ever wondered really what they did sing? No curious folks in Alabama? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I've been curious. What did they sing? So, I'll tell you what I did. If you would put Acts 16 and verse 20... 4, something like that. 22. Let's put 22. Acts 16 and 22. I want to show y'all something here I found. Now, let me tell you something now. I didn't get this off the internet. I didn't get this off of sermons.com. And I ain't never been to sermons.com. I heard somebody say there was such a thing. I ain't been there either. Acts 16. Let's look at verse number, what do we got here? Okay, watch this. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Next verse. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Next verse. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Next verse. Now, when we got to this verse right here, I'll tell you what, I was alone. Me and Jesus and my PC study Bible, we were all alone, and I decided I'm going to do a word study of this verse right here. There's got to be something else in there. So here's what I did. Where it says at midnight, I punched it up where it showed me the original Greek. And listen to this. The word midnight comes from 2 Greek words. One of them is M-I-D. You know what that means? In the middle of something. So it wasn't yielding a great yield right at that point. So the second part of it was night. You know what that meant? Nighttime. So, okay, we'll go on. So that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I thought, oh, there's going to be something here. I punched it up, boy, and it popped up in the Greek. Guess what it means? They prayed. But listen to this. When I got on down there, it said, and sang praises. I got my PC Bible on my computer at the room. I'll show it to you if you don't believe me. But I punched that dude up. And that word, saying praises, those two words come from one Greek word. If you doubt me, it's number 5214 in your Strong's Concordance. And the word is H-U-M-N-E-O, humneo. And here's what it means. It means to sing praises. It means to sing a hymn or religious ode, to celebrate God in song, or to sing a hymn out of a hymnal. I said, now that's pretty neat. So I toggled over to Thayer's, and here's what I did. Where's my brother at? Come help me here, man. I want you to help me. Get your microphone. I'm going to tell you what I did. I started into this. I flipped it over into Thayer's. Come stand right here, brother. I flipped it over into Thayer's, and here's what it says. It says to sing hymns to, and then it says the singing of Paschal hymns, which the Jews call the Great Hallel. I thought, well. And it even said that they sing it to this day when they celebrate the Passover. And how many of you understand that the Psalms, the 150 Psalms that are in the Bible, that is the Jewish songbook or hymnal to this day? That's where they get their songs out of. So they literally, Paul and Silas, were singing from memory something that was out of the old hymnal. But watch this. When I read this, then you'll get that this word comes from this root word, and it comes from the word 5215, which means a song in tithe praise to God. Now, you know what? Listen to me. Don't tell God that you have paid tithes. Stay right there with me just a minute, okay? I got to help these folks here just a second. I got to help these folks. Now, and let me, y'all preachers going to like this, okay? Okay, let's say I'm walking down the road. I'm walking down through the church building, and I'm just making my way by, and my billfold falls out. Tell him he can do it, okay? Got you, boy. Now, you see what he's doing? Stand up so I can see what you're doing. See what he's doing? What's he doing? And watch this. Thank you for paying me my billfold. Well, now you call it paying tithes. God said it never belonged to you. What is this paying tithes business? He ain't paying anything. You know what he's doing? He's being honest. God said the first fruits is mine. Don't you touch it. Don't come up with yourself swelled up when you walk back from the offering plate saying, I paid my tithes. What? You decided to not steal this week. Let me tell you something. Tithing is not about giving to God. Tithing is about being honest. Offerings is about generosity and giving to God and giving God something to bless. Tithing simply lets God know I'm honest. And if you don't return yours to God, let me just be up front with you. He gonna get them anyhow. Because when he said it's mine, he will collect. Now, you might pay the mechanic down there that's fixing your transmission, and you might pay the tire store that's buying, getting you new tires, and you might pay the doctor, and you might pay a lot of, but you're going to return tithes to God. He's going to make sure, baby. Hey, it's kind of like that one old boy. He went and sat down. He called, sat down in this guy's front room, and he said, "Sir, I'd like to ask your daughter's hand in marriage." And the guy looked at him and said, "Well, you seem to be a good enough boy. I have one question." He said, "Do you return tithing to God?" He said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, "Sir, with all due respect, what does that have to do with marrying your daughter?" He said, "Oh, anybody that cheat on God would cheat on my daughter eventually." Hey, you know what? Not everybody's the sharpest tool in the toolbox. So you know what God did for them folks? He made it easy to return tithing to God. Some of y'all would never be able to return tithing to God if he said, "You got to give me a 13 1/3%. Y'all would have just said, "Pastor, you take the money and tell me how much I get back." But you know what? He didn't do that, did he? He said, "I'm going to make it 10%. All you got to do, you don't have to be real smart, just get your ink pen out and scratch out the last zero, and there you go." Well, some of y'all been scratching off that stuff you've been buying at the convenience store.
I'm backing up.
Oh, God. You know what? God didn't say he's going to bless you by scratching something off. He said, "But you be faithful to me, and you bring all the tithing and the offering into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and I'll pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain." Now, this is not a deal. This is not a deal like that preacher that was preaching to this saint, and he was telling him, "Man, look, you got to quit doing this. You got to quit sinning." And the old boy looked at his pastor and he said, "Pastor," he said, "listen." He said, "You get paid to be good. I got to be good for nothing." If y'all didn't get that, ask this brother. He'll share it with you at church, all right? But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever understand what putting God first means in your life, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never mess up again. And I'm going to tell you, I've been watching this for 25 years. Now, here's what I personally do. Sister Davidson, I don't look at the tithing records. I don't. I tell my wife, "You take care of that. I don't want to see it." That way, when I get up and feel that little nudge to do it, there can't be somebody sitting out there saying, "Yeah, you knew I missed out." But you know what I have found? This has happened several times in 25 years that I've seen it happen. And I've literally went back in tithing records and traced it back to the day. I had a young couple in the church that God's asked me to pastor. I'm not going to say it's mine until I put my blood in it. And this couple came to me. I didn't ask them to do this. They came to me and said, "Brother Shatwell, we want to be so blessed by God when we get married." And this is probably 3 or 4 months before they got married. They said, "We want to make a vow to you and to God that we will not so much as kiss before you pronounce us man and wife." I said, "Well, that's a noble thing. And you know, it's hard to commit adultery or fornication and never touch." So I said, "That's a noble deal." And so you know what? They intended to do it. And they started on that journey of that vow. And listen to me. About 2 months or three, two months before their marriage date, the cheese got a little binding because somebody on the other side of the family didn't want to help out with the wedding. So one of the fathers decided, I'm not going to be able to return my tithing to God and pay for this wedding too. Well, I'm this type of person. I'm pretty open with the church at home that God's asked me to pastor. And so when I got them two in front of me, I knew nothing. And I said, I told everybody, I said, if these two have not lied to me, I said just like that. I said, they made a vow to God. And I told them of the vow they'd made. And I said, I think it's a very honorable thing to make a vow like that and keep it. I went on. That's 7 months. It was not immaculate conception. It was immaculate birth. Because we had a full-term baby, full size, at 7 months. And so, you know, I didn't make all A's at school, but I did figure that part out. And I figured, you know, somebody's been slipping around here, out here, you know. So I figured out what had happened, and you know, the truth finally came out. They finally fessed up. But you know what I did? I started back in the tithing record, and as far as I can tell, the day that daddy decided, I can no longer do this, they fell in sin. The day, according to the time that it takes a baby to get here full term. Could it be that when that daddy took what belonged to God and pulled it to himself, God had his mouth open, was getting ready to rebuke the devourer of his children's virginity. And when God opened his mouth, that man took what belonged to God to himself, and he shut the mouth of God that would have rebuked the devourer in his case. You do what you want to do, baby. I'll pay a late payment on a bill before I'll keep what belongs to God. I'll change my lifestyle somewhere. I'll get a second job. But I'm not going to steal from God. Because I've got to have him. If I don't have anything else, I've got to have him. Somebody clap your hands and shout to God.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. Lord, I got off all over the place. So anyway, come back up here, brother. Come help me. Come on. Come on. So here's what we did. Here's what I did. I got in there and I got to looking at that. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Put that scripture up there, 16:25. Now, look at verse 26. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. And now let's read that together. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Okay, whatever they were singing in this great Hallel, this is what happened while they were singing it. Number one, there was a great earthquake. Somebody say earthquake. And it happened. How long did it take it to happen? And the Bible says, and immediately, how long did it take the doors to come open? Right now. So we've got suddenly and immediately. And both of those things happen. The bands being broken and the earthquake coming and breaking the foundation up. All of it happened while they were singing this. So you know what I started doing? Leave that verse of scripture up there. Because I want to show you how that earthquake and then bands loosed. That's how they happen, chronologically, in order. Okay? But here's what I did. I started looking in some study material that I've got at home, and I wanted to know about this great Hallel business. So here's what I found. When I studied it, I found out that it... Psalm 14. Here's what I found. It says that this great Hallel comes from Psalm 113 through 118 and Psalm 136. That's the literal words that Paul and Silas were singing the night that that happened. Now, what would you think if I could show you that while they sang it, that literally what they sang caused that to happen? I'm going to tell you something. Y'all better get excited about this because I ain't never heard this preached anywhere in my life. Get your microphone. Come on, get up here. Now, you got to, now listen, have you got any soul in you?
You look at me and tell I got something in me, right?
Look, you got to put some soul in this because we ain't got any music.
Okay.
Okay? But I know you can sing because I heard you up here.
I appreciate it.
Okay, you appreciate it. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I got up here and I got to going through the Psalm. I went through Psalm 113 and nothing really jumped out at me. And so then I got into Psalm 114. Now what you got to do, you got to get in here and put some ups and downs in it. My voice ain't good enough to do it, but you need to do it. Okay, start reading about, I'll start right there in verse 2. Watch this. This is when Israel went out of Egypt. What's it say? Verse 2. You got to put some music with it. You know how them Jews sang, they had that sing-song kind of stuff without a whole lot of music? You've heard that. Okay, you've heard it too. We're going to put some soul in this.
You're not going to give me an organ player?
Do you need one?
It'd help me.
Okay, come on. We need an organ player. Hey, we'll get some soul up on the organ. Come on, brother. Let's go. Come on, let's give our brother a hand here. Can you do it? Okay, come on, get up on it now. Let's go. Visit like you've been there.
Yeah, give me a C.
All right, here we go. All right, now, you got to go through this. Now, you ready?
Yeah, what was
and I got into 114. I'd read through 113. There wasn't much that really caught my attention. I started in 114. Start with verse number 1. You got to sing this.
When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, the people of a strange language.
Go on, keep going.
Judah was in his sanctuary, and Israel in his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains get like a rail, and the little hills like a lamb.
Keep going, you know you.
What else heal thou see? That thou fled South Jordan, thou was driven back. Ye mountains that you skip like a ram, and ye little hills like lamb.
Now listen to this. Listen to what the word says. Listen to what it says. Listen to verse 7.
Tremble thou on earth at the presence of the Lord and at the presence.
Oh, did you hear that? Where's my computer guy at? Hey, put that up there. Psalm 114 and verse number 7. Psalm 114 and 7. I want you to look at this. You see what that says right there? Sing it one more time. Verse number 7, brother.
Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob.
And you know what it says in Acts 16? And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You know what happened? All God needed was somebody that would give a little testimony. Listen to me. I looked up that word tremble, and you know what it means? It means a great shaking as an earthquake. And the very God of heaven said, if I've got children that in that condition are willing to still give a testimony, I'm going to make it happen as they think. As they're willing to let it out of their mouth. I, the judge of all the earth, am going to make it happen. Now what's the next thing that happened? And then what was the next thing? And immediately, doors were open and everyone what? Okay, watch this. Come on, brother. Come on. I went through 115, didn't find all that much. I went through one, got to 116. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. All right, start about right there in verse 10. 116 and 10.
I believe, therefore I have spoken.
Come on.
I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, call me a liar.
Come on, one more. Come on, keep going.
Would shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits?
Keep going.
All toward me. I will take up the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of my Lord.
Next verse, next verse.
And I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
Read the next one. Come on, come on, sing.
Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Look at this.
Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid.
What did he say?
Thou hast loosed my bands and my bonds.
Did you hear it? Thou hast loosed my bonds. What happened in the book of Acts? And the Bible said in every man's door was opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. I'm telling somebody in the house, if you're willing to say it in testimony, I serve a God that'll make it happen. Hey, listen. Now, for this to be a true revelation, it's got to have three things. Can't just have the first one where the earthquake happened, and it can't just have the second where the bands were loosed. It's got to have something in there about salvation. Because in the story of Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail, that jailer came in there and said, "What must I do to be saved?" They spake the word of the Lord to him, baptized him and his whole house that night. So come on, brother. What? Come on, brother. Let's go. What would you say if I could show you Psalm 118 that this book talks about salvation? Where's it at here? It's in Psalm 118. Yeah. Start right there in 13. Psalm 118 and 13.
Thou hast thrust forward me that I might fall. But the Lord help me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become
what?
My salvation.
Somebody say salvation. Now, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous.
You know why salvation's in there more than once? When it only talks about one earthquake and one band's being loose? Because there's more than one person that needed salvation. The Bible says it's him and his whole house. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's a revelation, baby. You won't know, you'll never wonder again what they sang. They sang the great Hillel. But God didn't do that just to put some good stuff in there. He did that to let you know in 2013, if you got the guts to say it, if you'll just testify it, I will make it happen for you. Now, please, please understand. I believe in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So that's got to be happening somewhere else besides right there, Brother Lewis, for me to really hang something on that nail. So I looked to find out where Hymenaeus showed up anywhere else in the New Testament. And the Bible says that when they walked out of the upper room, the Bible said they sang an hymn. Same Greek word. You know what I read about a chapter or a little later, a few verses later? The Bible said that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And there was a great earthquake. And the rocks rent. How about the bands being loosed? And the Bible says, and many saints who were in the grave were loosed from the bands of death and got up and come walking into Jerusalem. So, but shout, well, that don't say anything about salvation. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, come on somebody, God's waiting on you to be willing to give a testimony. The Bible says that God is the judge of all the earth. He's the judge of all the earth. But He's a righteous judge. And if you're not willing to present evidence in the form of testimony, look up the word testimony. It says the presenting of evidence as in a court of law. God is sitting there ready to, and wanting and desirous to rule in your favor. But He'll keep putting it off like them lawyers do. Hoping that somewhere you'll get the guts to say, God's going to do this for me. Criminals have walked free this week because somebody was not willing to testify. People that were as guilty as they could be have been freed and walked out the streets because somebody was not willing to testify. But tonight, in this house, somebody's going to testify. Somebody's going to testify. Brother Davidson, come here and stand right here. Get you here, brother. Let me have your mic. Let me have your mic, brother. We need a mic here. As your district superintendent and the presiding authority in this state, Brother Davidson, stand here. Put the microphone up. I want to give you some words to say. Put the microphone up. Look at the people. Now listen to me.
Yes, sir.
He is the authority elected by this district to serve this district in this capacity. So, Brother Davidson, close your eyes, and I want you to say this. As the authority by God.
As the authority by God.
In the great state of Alabama.
In the great state of Alabama.
I this night. Call to order.
Call to order.
This church service.
This church service.
And I say that as of this moment.
And I say that of this moment.
It is no longer only another night at camp.
It is no longer only another night at camp.
But I declare this night.
But I declare this night.
That in this building. The court of Almighty God.
The court of Almighty God.
Is now in session.
Is now in session.
And is receiving evidence.
And is receiving evidence.
That the God of heaven.
That the God of heaven.
May rule on your behalf.
May rule on your behalf.
I seal this now.
I seal this now.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
And the books are now open.
And the books are now open.
To receive the evidence.
To receive the evidence.
That you would present.
That you would present.
According to your case in Jesus' name.
According to your case in Jesus' name.
I don't know what you're waiting on, baby. I wish somebody would get out in that aisle and open your mouth up and begin to give testimony about what you believe that God is going to do.
Yeah.
God, come on, open your mouth and testify.
No matter what.
Too many closed mouths up here. Too many closed mouths up here. Speak it. Speak it.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost.
No matter what comes my way.
Confess it. Call it. Hallelujah.